then he put his in it. And it was his grace, because look at the things that she's been doing. Of course, that's her story I shouldn't be telling, but it's just the, that's the point of it. What did Oliver say?
Yes. You heard of the place called Guru Prasad in Pune?
Wait a minute, he did tell me. Yes, I'd forgotten.
And also, the advertisements of that film that Bob went to see.
Yes, The Man Who Never Was.
And in that, see, you probably said, you know, you remember there was water in this movie.
That's right, it was the second film. It was
right.
It was
so
something
two
that,
films.
It was the supporting film that I read, that we never saw.
The Man on the High, Yacht on the High Seas.
That's right. It was set on board a ship. And all I remember was water.
So that was like a little short film before or something?
Yeah, it was what we call a supporting film. I mean, like an A-class film and a B-class film. And the B-class came first. So the main feature is shown secondly. Not that I know anything about what Barbara thought or did. All I'm conscious of was the fact that I, after a few minutes, thought, this is just, I'm not going to waste my time. I'll close my eyes and think of Barbara. And at that point, when I did close my eyes, the next thing I know, Barbara patted me on the knee. He was in front of me, patted me on the knee, and I opened my eyes, and he smiled and nodded as though, yes, I agree. It's not even worth watching.
So you all never even stayed
for me? No. And shortly afterwards, I don't know how long, but my impression was that it wasn't long after that that we left the theatre, and then I drove Barbara down through the city streets in a big circle down through Sydney. Sydney is long, like most cities, you know, have long main streets, down and back along another one.
Back to Mayor House.
And back to Mayor House. Yeah. Yeah, I don't know exactly, David, but I would think that Barbara and we were only in the theatre for maybe half an hour at the most.
Well, that's when that guy said, "Who does he think he is, Jesus Christ?"
Yes, yes, yes. I didn't hear it, but that's what I was told. Somebody, Barbara standing in the middle of the seats and directing where we all sit.
So
two rows, if I remember rightly.
Pretty close.
No, we're upstairs.
There's a balcony.
Balcony. Yes, comfortable seats. Good. Mm-hmm. Whoever bought the seats got the best.
Okay. Anyway, 67. Just whatever you can remember.
Now I tell you what I will do, David. For a start, with 67, I'll cut out the parts from this letter that I'm writing.
Yeah. What? Some people are.
Oh no, that's. I mean, that's just. That's not. That's sort of incidental at the present moment. It was just that because of this, of the group, I've written down a lot of what happened and what Barbara said and things that recall that I recalled.
How did this trip happen?
Now, so what happened was, this is the first I knew of it, was that Barbara said that we could all come to see him in 1965, and that at that time when we came, that I could stay an extra 7 days, stay with him for 7 days.
This was after
East West Gathering. In other words, 65 was
right.
You remember,
yeah,
it was all planned, the Westerners were all going to come, and then it was cancelled.
Mm-hmm.
And apparently after the service program, I was to stay on for 7 days. That's all I know. It was cancelled. And so I said that was that. And I forgot all about it. It wasn't mentioned. I didn't say anything to Barbara, and Barbara didn't say anything to me, in letters, I mean. No mention. All of a sudden, out of the blue, 65, it was the end of 66, must have been sort of 6 months later. Barbara suddenly said, look, seeing I didn't give you 7 days, I'll give you 14 days. Now, I remember that sort of 7-14. And it was because I didn't get the 7 days that he'd made it 14 days. And to come in February 67. Now, I'll let you know the dates. I don't remember exactly. I got an idea. I got back to Sydney early March. First few, 2 or 3 days in March, something like that. So I duly arrived, stayed at the... stayed in Bombay, came to Pune, was met in Pune by Donkin? I've got an idea with somebody else. I mean, probably Mayaji. It was probably Mayaji. But I'm sorry, I don't remember. But I do remember having lunch with Donkin. A meal with Donkin. We set off. Gosh, how one forgets the details. All I remember was that we set off with Donkin. It must have been, I think it must have been, I must have had an evening meal with him. Yes, in his Wolseley. Yes, and I remember him being absolutely amazed at the amount of stuff that he carried for a journey, 75-mile journey, and how, you know, there was water to wash our hands and napkins to wipe them on. And I mean, the whole box and dice took about an English gentleman going out on a Sunday spree. And I remember very clearly Donkin's kindness, you know, welcoming talk with me, and how I recall him telling me how he met Barbara, his first impressions of going out of the room. Nothing happened until he got to the door and he put his hand on the handle of the door, and he got a shock. All of a sudden, that instant, he knew that Barbara was God. And I recall that, and I recall him telling me about the times, the new life, and getting up early in the morning with Barbara, and Barbara poking and prodding everyone until everyone was thoroughly stirred up, and then the day began. But that was the hardship, with Barbara's attitude, Barbara's way of making them grow up. I mean, of training his people. The actual walking, Don said, was just a piece of cake. To him, it was no hardship at all. It was just like a Sunday stroll, you know, an outing. No great hardship at all. But he was a very fit person. But he was very nice. I'll never forget him and his attitude. Very, very good. And so we arrived at Mayrazad, and we settled in, and I was in the room. The same room I'm in now, the room that is next to Nariman's. But Francis was there then. Francis was in one room, I was in the next, facing that little building, you know, opposite Munnerley Hall. Francis on the left-hand side, I was on the right-hand side, and Bidal was on the extreme, in that little room. And one morning, I remember, must have been soon after I arrived, Barbara said, how did I sleep? And I said, fine. He said, he looked puzzled. He said, it reminds me of a poem that I knew as a boy. The Charge of the Light Brigade, cannons to the left of them and cannons to the right of them. And he said, how can you sleep with Francis on one side and Bidal on the other? Well, Francis talked loudly in his sleep and Bidal snored loudly. or gave prodigious yawns to announce to the world that he was wide awake.
He must have been kind of paralyzed when
he was. He was not in good shape. I remember that he didn't always come into the Mundley Hall. He did sometimes. I remember on occasion, Baba sort of. He obviously didn't always have control of himself, and Baba gesturing displeasure at him being there and him asking him to go out, or sort of seeing that he went out. Karka was there.
Huh? I mean, mentally he
was? I know. Mentally he was all right, but not. I mean, I had no words with him because if he did speak English, it certainly wasn't. Karka was a good example of what they say that with those that were so closely associated with Baba, who loved Baba so much, that even when the mind went, the heart impressions remained. And that with Karka, nothing else existed but Baba. He knew of nothing else. Even in the worst time, in the worst moments of his stroke or his heart attacks. I think it was a stroke that he had, wasn't it? He'd had a number of heart attacks. Yeah. Anyway, even then, the only word he could say was Baba. And the only one he recognized was Baba. And the only things that he knew what to do were his old duties of night watchman to Baba. He knew that he could perform them mechanically. As it were, mechanically, in the sense that the mind had gone, but the heart remained. Yeah, the deep impressions still remain. Those impressions that were closest to the heart.
So when you first arrived, Baba was in Han Kenneth, and when you saw him afterwards, do you remember
him? No. Sorry, David, I can't remember. I thought you'd ask me that. Gosh, I wonder if it'll come back to me. I just don't remember. All I remember was that I saw Baba every day for the 14 days.
In the morning.
Each morning we were there with Baba, and then around lunchtime he went back to his room, and I didn't see him then for the rest of the day. No, he wasn't coming to the hall. Erich, I believe that Erich would go over there and read more letters or...
So he was carried in a lift chair?
Yes, he was carried in a lift chair each day and then would walk up and down the hall, the Mundley Hall, with his hand resting on Francis's arm two or three times. At least two or three times. I don't remember the number of times. He would play the game at one stage or another when he arrived or when he departed. I don't remember, but he would play the game of between Karka and the four people carrying him, the four boys, the game of language of words. And make Baba laughed. He really enjoyed it. But otherwise, Baba, the main impression that I had at that time was Baba suffering. Baba in pain and distressed. What I recall clearly was Baba shifting in the seat, trying to get comfortable with leg injury. Having a cushion, not having a cushion, being raised up, not. Impressions of Baba, with a neck brace, had a neck brace on each day, and Gutta, or one of them, telling me how Baba had high fever during the night, restless night, didn't sleep. All the time, there was an emphasis on his physical condition. And Baba was Baba, just the same as when I first saw him. There's no question of that. And yet it was obvious that from the point of view of his body, it was it was wrecked. So, again, I don't know, but the impression I got, and the impression I got from the Mandalay, was a sort of a miracle in itself, how it held together. But he would come, as he said. He said, despite my condition, despite the high fever, for example, the temperature of one night was 104 degrees. And despite that, I'm coming because you are here and because of Avatar's abode. So the whole emphasis on that period of time, although it wasn't every day, wasn't by any means spent on Avatar's abode, but there was a lot of time spent each day on the question of Avatar's abode. And the main theme which was repeated and repeated was that Francis was to hand over Avatar's abode to me, and that I was to form a trust, that I was to be the chairman, and that I was to make Avatar's abode universally known as a great place of pilgrimage in the world.
At that time, was anyone staying on the property?
Yes, at that time, yes. Avatar's abode. In 1958, to go back a stage, if you want to know that, fits in with Avatar's abode. Barbara, the first morning Barbara was there, he called Francis and myself, only the two of us, and we talked. There was talk about Barbara work, what was happening, what had been done. And Barbara said then about the greatness of Avatar's abode, and that a trust was to be formed to protect it. And he named Francis and I as trustees. And then he said five people, you two be trustees. He didn't say chairman or anything like that, just two trustees. And then he said, now, who else? And Francis and I named three others. Yes, I know. I can remember too, Robert Rouse. I don't remember who suggested who. I think I said two names and Francis one. Not that that's important, but I'm just giving you a little picture. Robert Rouse, Reg Paffel, and the third one, I think, was probably John Bruford. I would say it would be, although I can't honestly remember that point, but I would think so. Now, in 1958, Barbara said for the Rouses and the Bruforts to stay on Avatar's abode, and he told me to go back to Sydney and to get on with the work of spreading his name and message.
And they had to build their own house.
The Rouses continued to live in the farmhouse, and the Bruforts were with them for a time in the same house, and then asked permission and was granted to build their own house. So there are the two houses. There's the original farmhouse and there is the Bruford residence. Then in 1967, that was when Barbara told me to move up. He told me to go back to Sydney, return to Sydney. Then in 1967, he told me to come, to move. And there was a whole complicated business to Avatar's abode, a whole complicated business of where I was to live and what we were to do and what would happen with the children and this and that. As it happened, it took me 12 years to get there. But after that visit in 1967, Barbara often would say, When is Bill going to Avatar's abode? When is the work going to start? What's happening? When is he going? But I was so busy, I was so occupied with public meetings and TV interviews and newspaper interviews for Barbara at that time. There was no question. Somehow it just didn't happen. And then after Francis returned, of course, then Francis lived at Avatar's abode. Bruford's and the Rouses still lived there. And I made one attempt to move up there to a couple of years after Francis moved back, but it didn't work out. It wasn't any good. There were various reasons why it didn't work, and I returned to Sydney and continued to build up my handcrafts, which of course then subsequently provided the money for the development of Alataz Abode and the development of the barber work generally, you know, with example, making of films and publishing books.
So
and
those were the,
yeah. Might have been the year before. I mean, we've had it for a few years.
Yeah.
It was nice, though.
Oh, yeah, it was very enjoyable.
Yeah. Yes, it works well. So that was the emphasis in 67, was the development. And Barber said that, he said, I'm putting a great burden on my shoulders. That he asked, I've forgotten how the wording, but he asked that every barber lover, every person who loved barber, it was their responsibility to cooperate fully with me in this work, as one heart with many hands. And instructions were given to individuals, to various individuals, with regard to Avatar's Abode and the barber work generally in Australia.
Did he lay down things like he did for Marabou Synthesis? What is this going to be? What's to happen?
No. But various hints were given. How will I put it? It wasn't specified. The development wasn't specified. At the same time, one had the feeling of a general outline in which he wanted to develop as a place of pilgrimage. So obviously, it meant accommodation. It meant study facilities. It meant pleasant walks and secluded spots. You know what I mean? It all was contained within this, the emphasis of it being a place of pilgrimage. At the same time, I got the impression from Barber that, there was no question that he approved commercial enterprises to an extent that was necessary for the upkeep of the place, but obviously not turning the whole place into a commercial enterprise, or to assist in the economic support of it.
So the trust was already formed, though, wasn't it?
No. There's no trust. Although Barber said to form a trust in 1958, the thing was not mentioned again. It was dropped. There was no further word. Nothing was said, and I did nothing. Mm-hmm. I wouldn't have known where to start. In 67, I started to take the thing, of course, more seriously, Barber emphasising that I was to form a trust. My early advice from legal people was that it was not possible, unless it was as an institution, like a church. And I said, no, it's not a church. Well, in that case, I don't know what we can do for you. But you can leave it to a trust on your death. I said, well, my death is too far ahead. I mean, I want to do it before. I don't know how you can do it. So then there's now, if you want more, there's a complicated series of moves, which has been detailed in this letter. I can send you extracts of all that. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
That a company was formed, because I was told that the trust couldn't be. Then I did form a trust, and then I found the trust was no good, that it wasn't a true trust, a trust acceptable by the government as being a charitable and religious trust. Then the second attempt it was correct, and they did accept it, and the trust is completely tax free and so forth. In the meantime, as I said, I was still acquiring funds for the development of Avatar's abode. Virtually nothing was done except maintenance work. Certain essential work was that I did, but the main developments only started when I did finally move to Avatar's abode in January 79.
So during the 67 visit, then, do you remember any of the other things that Bob might have said specifically to you about this or other things?
Well, I mean, there was... he emphasized again about getting even more serious about spreading his name and message. That's why I started to go on TV and radio.
Yeah, that's in the family room.
Yeah, that's right. correct. He said, of course, that people who wanted to stay there should seek my approval, my permission first.
Stay
there. To visit Avatar's abode. To stay. Yes, to seek my permission. We were to do everything we can to establish good relations in the community, in the general community around. General things.
So, during your stay there, did any other incidents happen? Like, see, you were there for the birthday, right?
Yes.
Do you remember that day?
Oh, yes. Yes, I remember that day. Well, I mean, there were... I remember, of course, other times, too, with Barbara. I mean, it wasn't just always on Avatar's abode. Yeah, I mean, Barbara, I mean, as usual, it was his office. So correspondence was read out, poems were read, a booklet was shown to Barbara, a book or a booklet that had been published by somebody, and Barbara would touch it and send his love and blessings to the person and say how pleased he was. I remember there was a tape came in German. And unfortunately, there was none of us knew German. All we could hear was the name Barbara. I remember clearly great discussions on many mornings for a certain period each morning over whether Siegel, the Member of Parliament, would get in or not. It was a time of re-election. And there was great discussion between Barbara and the Mundley over whether he would get in. And Barbara said, he's got no money. That he's honest, and I've told him to be honest, that he's in politics only if he is honest. So how can he get back when he's got no money and the others spend money freely to transport voters to the voting poll, you know, the booth? And this and that, and Pendu would get excited, very excited about the whole thing, it would go from English into Gujarati, and I knew what it was about, but it got it didn't stay in English because everyone got too excited. Anyway, naturally, he did get in. Yes, there were times where Barbara would sense that, you know, with some hours Barbara would sense that perhaps Francis and I needed a break or something, and perhaps he wanted to go to the toilet, sit on the potty, and we would go outside and have a smoke. We'd go to the toilet ourselves. I remember Francis going one occasion, Barbara sort of watching him. Francis is always going to the toilet. He's always going to piddle.
Was he asked permission to go again?
Yes, I mean, there'd be naturally some, gosh, I don't know. I think, I seem to recall, the thing Baba would tell us, I mean, I would, Francis and I wouldn't go out, but then if Francis wanted to urgently go to peddle, I can't remember. All I remember was Baba sort of looking quizzically after Francis. Yeah, well, it could have been. Francis could have gone like that.
Did they do that in Australia?
No, but I know the sign. I know it from Baba. But other occasions, Baba would go outside for 10 minutes. I smoked in those days. And Baba would ask after my health, asked after the family, health of the family, and what they were doing, and what this one was doing, and that one. Can't remember, to be frank. I probably did. I must have. Yeah, yes. I most probably did, yes. But it was a short time. I mean, fortnight's not long. So, in a sense, by the time you get there and get yourself organised, it's like this trip. I haven't written. I didn't even. I've sent a couple of cables instead, just to show I'm still alive. Yes, is that all right? Is that?
Yeah. So anyway, about the birthday.
And then, of course, the birthday. Now that was a day that I do recall. I remember Baba being brought to Mundley Hall at about six, or might have been before six, quarter to six in the morning, and Baba sort of grumbling, saying, "Oh yes, I'm sorry. The lads, the servants, of course, the Indian boys had." Been hard at work decorating for days before. And it was beautifully done. Beautifully done. And over Baba's chair, where Baba sat, was a big balloon, which subsequently was revealed to be full of rose petals. And I was to, and I punctured the balloon. So it burst
while
Baba was sitting in the showers of rose petals went over him. Yes, I recall that. But anyway, Baba, first of all, came, he was brought, and he grumbled how all his birthday meant was that he was wakened early and he had to wash his face and hands and, you know, and all this kerfuffle over his birthday just meant more trouble for him. And we all gathered, I'm sorry, we gathered at 5 a.m., I'm sorry, all the men Mundley, we were up early. We were up long before the time, and we all had baths and got ourselves ready. And at 5 a.m. sharp, we all said three times. I think it was three times. Avatar Maya Baba Ki Jai. And then Baba came, and then we had breakfast. Yes, I think you must have. Yeah. I'm sorry, I don't remember. It's probably in my notes. I did make notes of what happened. Sitting here, I can't recall those details. But it would have followed. It would have followed the normal practice. So whatever was being written or said before or told by others would have been the same. And then the generator had been brought and music was played. Including the tape by my two daughters who'd sung. I had on tape a number of songs that I'd sung for Baba and which was played. And so the day passed. Otherwise it was a normal day until the evening when I was driven in by Yusuf in the car. And to the procession that went through and started in the compound here with a great decorated... Bao must have told you about
it. I've seen them. They used to do it.
That's right. Yeah, exactly. And then a procession of bullock carts.
This wasn't the year that it rained in Arizona. It's in this phone call.
Yes. That...
You see.
it didn't rain here.
But was that year that was raining there?
That's interesting.
See, there was 67 and 68
were this was the first year it was done.
Right.
It was the first year it was done.
One of those years, it rained. That's right.
Yes. No, but it was Bao. You remember Bao went backwards and forwards?
He's not sure which of the years. He thinks it was 68. I was just thinking, if you remember, if it had rained during your study.
I think it must have been 68. Yeah. And then after 2 or 3 hours, I came back. He went on till midnight. I went round along the streets and watched it for some time, walking and observing, and seeing everyone, all the people on the balconies, in the doorways, everyone. It was a most colourful procession, very nicely done with all the villagers, you know, from Arangay on and so forth, really participating. It was a very joyous affair, and very inspiring, and everyone and the townspeople seemed to enjoy it. I mean, that's the impression one got.
So during those 14 days you were at Marathon, did any visitors come?
No.
Was Marawan already there?
Oh, I'm sorry, Marawan was there.
Was he already there when you came?
We left at the same time, so probably arrived in the same time.
You left together?
We left together, yes. And then on the 14th day, we said goodbye, but it wasn't in any way special. Barbara didn't embrace us or pay any special attention, and I was very happy because it gave me, I immediately thought, that's good, I'm to see him again. Sort of like, you know, go off for the time being, and next month, next year, whatever it be, we will be together again. And of course, I still feel that. I just feel that it's a continuing thing, that in no sense has the connection finished. No. No, we said it was the last day. He must have left. He must have. No. Yeah. Yes. No, he didn't go to Allura. But I remember it was the last day together with Barbara. Now, he may have been there before me. He's usually 1 month, isn't he? Doesn't he usually go for 1 month? And he must have been 1 month. And that was the last day. No, I was just going to say that of course, I spent time reading a lot of letters and correspondence after the times with Baba. In the afternoon I would read. We would go for a walk in the evening, long walk, usually a few miles with Erich. Mm-hmm. And Erich would tell Baba stories, or we'd talk about things. That was also the time, the evening was also the time when we would write down what had transpired during the day. Make notes of what had happened. When did I play Seven Tiles? No, I don't remember. No, don't remember.
Well, I'll just type up the reminders of what.
Yeah. I'm sorry, David. That'll have to do you.
Can I just try to go to Ross also?
Yes, sure. Yeah, that's no trouble. No, you give me a note and I can. I'll send it to him if I don't see him. I'll most probably see him. But I can send a note very easily.
So, did you say that you had seen material, or there wasn't material?
I don't know where the material is. Okay. Whatever was sent to Francis, I've got no idea what's happened to it.
Because the last time you said you have all Francis's
things. No. No, there were trunks there. There's tons of papers. God, I don't even know what they are. I've never had the time to. I've never had the opportunity of just wading through it. I mean, it's those papers are too much for me. Whether they include this material, or whether he threw them out, or
I know Dr. Gaines' diaries that he kept, and this was subsequently a copy, and this was given by the Phyllis Frederick, because she published part of it.
Yes.
I don't know if that's all of it. But,
yes. Yeah. Yes, that's right. Well, that's true. The diary is there. Francis has got that. He has got. There is material, but the, I mean, apart from Don and all the other people that were written to, I don't know. Got no idea. It certainly has not appeared. And the impression I have is the memory I have is Francis sort of saying, oh, wasn't much good.
Yeah.
I suppose so. Yeah, one of these days. I suppose that'll be something that will keep me.
I mean, when you wrote that first line, I mean, you must have started trying to organize the material at that time. It was only from memory. How did you write that?
Oh, that one, he had the diaries. The diaries do exist. From the first one, yes. That's a compiled diary from four people. Padre, Chanji, Ramji, and some other name. I've seen it, there's four of them. And the diaries were combined into day by day. Francis simply edited certain days that appealed to him, or the days that he felt were more significant than others. But again, that could be material that could be published, or the additional and the verbatim account. Yeah, you'd have it from the trust.
I mean, like personal people sitting down and writing.
Yes, no, I don't know. I've got no idea. I haven't seen
it. Photographs and newspapers, whatever. I didn't know if anything was ever sent
to him. Don't know. Yeah. No, I never inquired. All I know is that comment.
Right. Well, if you see anything you think would be...
I whatever. Don't think that I'll be able to get at his stuff. He's a bit difficult to work with in that respect. Because he's, in a sense, he's organized and disorganized. And the only way I could effectively do it would be for him to sort of hand over his trunks and just allow me to sort of go through it and gradually sift it out. But to work with him would be impossible. Sometime it'll turn up and we'll see what's what.
I'm hoping that this first line of Bach is going to be published this year. So we're starting, but it'll be a long process because it's so large.
And Hermes is going to do this. Mm-hmm. Yeah, the first volume. Yeah, good. How long? How long a book? I mean, how big a book?
It's 5,000 pages. Typed.
The whole thing? 5,000.
I'm coming, just 1 minute. Right there, I'm
Yeah.
But that's like devil's face height. So.
Yeah.
He wants to include many pictures. Huh. So, at least 29.
Incredible.
Are you going to be around at all today?
Yes, I'll be here.
I'll just do this before you leave.
Yeah, sure. It's plenty of time. I